Retired Army Lieutenant General Michael Linnington is the director of the Pentagon's new POW/MIA accounting agency, charged with finding and identifying remains of U.S. service members abroad. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter appointed Linnington in June. He replaces Rear Admiral Mike Franken, who had served as interim commander since the agency was formed back in January. Linnington tells Federal News Radio's Matt Wingfield more about the history of the still-young agency and how he plans to accelerate the location and naming of lost service members.
What was interesting about this agency is it's been in effect for many years, but this last spring, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel directed a complete reorganization and consolidating of the past conflict accounting efforts within the Department of Defense. So since that time, several different organizations that were responsible for different aspects of the past conflict accounting effort were brought together under a single agency, and that's us, the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency.
So what were those two agencies? How was it handled prior to you guys?
So there were actually a couple different folks responsible for the mission. Here in D.C., the Defense POW Missing Personnel Office, or DPMO, ran the policy aspect of the mission. And then in Hawaii, the Joint POW/MIA Accounting Command, or JPAC, did the operational piece. They were the ones that took the research and investigative leads and went to the field, largely in the Pacific, to do the field investigations and recoveries of our lost service members from past conflicts. And then we had a couple different labs. There's a large lab in D.C. that's part of JPAC, and then we had the Air Force Life Sciences Equipment Laboratory at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. They did the material evidence analysis on anything recovered from the crash sites. So what the Secretary did by his memorandum and 2015 NDAA was bring all those different disparate organizations together into a single agency. He directed a single agency director, and that's me.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, it used to be basically that different regions would handle different things. So there would be an agency in charge of identifying Korean War vets or those lost in the Pacific, and now that's all consolidated under one roof. That's not a small matter. That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, so the recovery aspect of the mission was always handled by the folks in Hawaii, by the old JPAC. By bringing all the different aspects of the organization together into a single agency was linked the policy, the operations, the research, the identification, the lab, all together under a single organization, and then link that organization to what the services do, obviously, in providing casualty mortuary affairs support to families. That's what the Secretary's direction was last spring. It's what the 2015 NDAA put in place, and we formed the new agency in January under an interim director, a three-star admiral who's now the deputy commander in AFRICOM, Mike Franken. And since the end of June, that's me. So we'll be FOC, or fully operationally capable, by the end of this year, be reorganized with a regional approach, much like what the combatant commanders do, and then we're off to the races.
So what are your priorities for the agency?
Well, priority one is obviously continue the ongoing mission. And we have 190 folks deployed around the world right now in 7 different locations doing recovery operations. So number one priority is, as we work through our reorganization, is to maintain that mission and our ongoing operations. And my personal priority is to ensure nothing we do as part of our reorg disrupts what's going on in the field. So that's mission number one. And then the other priorities are, as laid out by the Secretary in a memo to me, was to complete the reorganization of the past conflict accounting effort by the end of the year. That's our second priority. Third priority is continue to streamline and modernize the way we do business, especially how we share information with family members. Fourth is improve communications across all of our many stakeholders, obviously focusing on families of our missing personnel. And then last but not least is to expand partnerships. Lots of folks out there in other nations and private organizations want to help us in all aspects of our mission. So the Secretary directed us to increase our public-private partnerships, and the NDAA authorizes us to do so. So that's an exciting part of our mission going forward, and we're really looking forward to expanding our capacity in our past conflict accounting mission through public-private partnerships.
Now, is that going to help with the congressional mandate? Because there was a mandate that you be able to identify 200 remains per year. Are public-private partnerships going to help that? How do you plan to go about doing that?
Yeah, we've always hovered around 100 or a little less than 100. As you know, recovering remains of our service members from remote locations around the world is a very, very difficult operation. And then the hard work in the lab to do the forensic analysis and the DNA analysis to complete those identifications is truly hard work. And our nation's one of very few nations that do that. So it's not an easy process. But the intent of the public-private partnership direction was to increase our capacity going forward and look to leveraging other aspects, be they research partnerships, be they investigative partnerships, or even recovery partnerships with other government agencies, other governments, and non-governmental organizations to help us in that regard. And we're off to the races with that already. We signed our first MOU with an NGO yesterday. And as you probably know, we also just received 36 remains of service members lost in World War II from the island of Tarawa from an NGO that helped recover those remains from the Marine Corps. So that was very exciting.
We're speaking with retired Army General Michael Linnington. He's the new head of the POW/MIA accounting agency. So how does the identification process work? How much is necessary to identify someone? How do you go about even starting such an important and, I imagine, very difficult process?
Yeah, so it's incredible. As you might imagine, the research and analysis that goes into identifying the locations where our service members from past wars are is difficult work. And that work is done by archivists, historians, linguists, research analysts, support personnel, planners. It really takes a coordinated, multidisciplinary team to do the research necessary to find the locations where our service members were lost. And then once we get to the site that's been confirmed by an investigation, then there's archaeologists, anthropologists, field operators, logisticians, odontologists, and folks in the lab that go through the hard work of doing the identification. And it really takes an expert to manage the case on an individual basis and support from the Armed Forces DNA Laboratory out in Dover, Delaware, to help with the DNA analysis if required to do the identification. So it's really a team approach. It starts obviously with the research from archives and other case summaries of how our service members were lost, the field investigations, and then the field recoveries and the identification in the lab. So it's a difficult task, but it's one that we're honored to be a part of and we're going to continue to pursue as we go forward.
I guess then my next question is, this is such a responsibility, such an important agency. You admitted that you had very little experience with the agency itself. What made you want to take over an agency like this? Why not start at, I guess, an easier agency?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I served 35 years in the Army, as you probably know. My last 6 months were as an advisor to the organization when I worked for the Undersecretary of Personnel and Readiness. And the more I saw what this agency was responsible for, the opportunities to interact with families and family groups and see the passion of the workforces doing this mission, there is really no greater opportunity for me personally. So I applied for the job and I got selected. Every soldier, every service member abides by a certain set of values and a warrior ethos that says they'll never leave a fallen comrade. So to be able to be part of an organization that provides answers to families and recoveries of our past service members is a great honor. So for me, it was an easy decision, and my family was fully supportive of it.
So how do you go about actually notifying family members?
Well, that's done by the services. We have close partnerships with the services, the service casualty officers. Once we do the identification, the service casualty offices and the service casualty officers are in lockstep with us, and they're the ones that maintain regular communications with family members, inform them of the identification, and then obviously coordinate and support the dignified transfer of the remains and the honors funerals that follow. So those relationships with all the services are incredibly important to our mission as well.
What's the scale of the agency overall? You've mentioned it's a team effort. There are multiple labs involved. How many people actually work for the agency?
We have a little over 600. We're located in nine locations, actually. Honolulu is, here in D.C. is the headquarters. Honolulu is the centerpiece of our Asia-Pacific operation. We have labs in Omaha and Dayton, and then we have detachments in Laos, Thailand, Vietnam, Germany, and a couple of folks in Russia coordinating some research in Russia as well. So we're all over the world. And that was also why it was important for the secretary to bring all this together under a single agency. It's hard to coordinate all that from a couple different locations. So to establish one headquarters, one director, one chain of command, one staff really makes the mission easier to coordinate. I would love for everybody to go to our website at www.dpaa.mil. Lots of information on the website about our mission, our values, our people, some of the operations that are ongoing in the field. It also has contacts to the service casualty officers and updates on our family events that are upcoming. So if folks would visit the website, I think they'd learn more about our nation's contribution and commitment to this important mission, and a place to get some additional information if they're interested.